the deity of Madan Mohan is actually very ancient. It was Advaita Acharya who found this deity when he was on a visit to Vrindavan in the scent of the Yamuna river. Later, when Advaita Acharya left Vrindavan, he put this beautiful deity of Madan Mohan into the worship of one Damodar Chobe, a very good Brahmana from Mathura. And it is here where I would like to tell my story. Damodar Chobe used to worship the deity like a son of his family. In fact, Betia, please sit down. In fact, after he was quite informal with the deity, and sometimes his little child, would play with the deity as you would play with a friend. They would play hide and seek. Apparently, the deity was moved also. The boy would sometimes give sweets to Madan Mohan to eat, and Madan Mohan took them. This deity was, in other words, always very, very active. Now one day, Madan Mohan decided to leave Mathura and come back to Vrindavan. And he did this by appearing one fine day before the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, I believe you all know, is an associate of Lord Krishna in the spiritual world, Lavanga Manjari, and he came to assist the Lord in his Sankirtan Leela together with his brother Rupa Goswami. Sanatan Goswami were the great generals of spreading Krishna consciousness. They lived in Vrindavan, and they were the ones who were responsible to collect from all the Vedic scriptures verses and philosophical statements which would form the basis of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, especially Sanatan Goswami, who was the older of the two brothers, was known as the guru of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan and the Brijbasis, who loved him very much. Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami had gotten four orders by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One you know already, to collect the Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings and systemize them or canonize them. The second was to find the lost places of Lord Krishna's pastimes in Braj, where the Lord 500 years ago had appeared and performed his pastimes. And I heard they went once to Mathura to find some archaeological books to know how to dig in the earth and find old remnants of the old buildings. So the third order was to install deities and do deity worship. And the fourth order was to write instructions on how Vaishnavas should conduct themselves in this world. These are called book on Sadachar. Now, Sanatan Goswami was thinking, where will I get a deity of the Lord who will, so that I can fulfill my sacred order, the sacred order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to install deities and worship them. And so this one morning, as he was just thinking like this, he heard a knock at the door. And he opened, and there the beautiful deity of Madan Gopal stood. And Madan Gopal told him, "I want to come to you. You know, in Mathura, I'm worshipped by one Mathura Brahman, one Damodar Chaubhe. You please go there when you go for your Madhukari, and you asked him that you want to worship me." Then the Lord disappeared. At the same time, the Lord appeared, spoke to Damodar Chaubhe a little later, or, you know, in that time, and he said, "I want to leave you. I'm going to leave you. I go back to Vrindavan, where I belong. One renunciant will come, and he will ask for me, and it is your sacred duty to give myself to him, my order." You can imagine, Damodar Chaubhe was totally sad about having received such an order. Now I will request one devotee to be at the door, because the Hare Krishnas never close doors for some reason, and always close the door when someone comes in and out. So Sanatana Goswami came. He said, "I have received this order asked for Madan Mohan." "Oh no," said Damodar Chaubhe. "Oh no, it's not possible. He's not just here. He's playing with my boy. Come back another time." So on the night, Madan Mohan appeared. "Damodar Chaubhe, tomorrow Sanatan Goswami will come again. It is my order that you give him myself." And this is how eventually the deity Madan Mohan came into the worship of Sanatan Goswami. This deity was very restless. There are many stories which most of you have heard many times, how the deity was first worshipped in a tree, and how he arranged that he got a higher class worship, that salt was offered to him. You have heard how the temple was built in Vrindavan. One day, Sanatana Goswami went into the temple of Madan Mohan, and he wanted to do his puja, but Madan Mohan was not on the altar. He went to the Yamuna, and he saw Madan Mohan was playing in the sand of the Yamuna, wrestling with the boys, the cowherd boys, and the white sand was spraying all over. They were really wrestling. Sanatana Goswami said, "You belong in the temple. Don't wrestle. Come now." Madan Mohan was, no. Then finally, Sanatana Goswami came closer and said, "You belong in the temple. Don't do these things." And then Madan Mohan laughed and ran back into the temple faster than the old Sanatana could run. But when Sanatana caught up with him, there Madan Mohan was smiling in the temple. We will soon hear about our Madan Mohan deity's activities. You will also hear that he is a very active deity. I might say something more of the old history, but I don't want to take from the speakers. I only want to say my own experience with Madan Mohan was, when he came to Schloss Rettershof, our temple, we were very young and immature, and we will not tell you the manifestations of our immaturity, but I know we all loved Radha Madan Mohan. We really loved them. We were young and just coming into Krishna consciousness, but all the devotees just loved the deities. When we came back from Sankirtan, first thing we wanted to see Madan Mohan. I was at that time often in the temple as a translator, and there was a time when the temple was very poor, and then when the Sankirtan started, the temple became quite wealthy, and we could offer Madan Mohan butter, sweets and such things like he loves to take. And at that time, I still remember, the pujari said one day, Madan Mohan's belly has become big. The old clothes don't fit any longer. And I thought it was Astarada Prabhu who told this. Oh, Astarada, he's a Govinda Bhakta. I'm an Ashinga Bhakta. The Govinda Bhaktas are a little sentimental. We Ashinga Bhaktas are tough. and I thought he had just made this up. But I said, well, you might have washed the clothes too hot. That's why they don't fit. They shrink when you wash them too hot. And he said, no. And one day he showed me. And Madan Mohan really had gotten a big belly from all the nice butter sweets and so on. I remember, I looked at the deity and said, is this real? And I felt the deity was just smiling about my doubts and the skepticism. Madan Mohan is a very active deity, and we will now hear from Krishna Chetra Prabhu, our minister of former minister. You now have to sit properly and hear properly, our former minister of deity worship, about Radha Madan Mohan.
It's nice to hear about Radha Madan Mohan in Vrindavan. One thought I had, I thought to speak something of the history of our Madan Mohan deity, but in hearing about Damodar Chobe and Sanatan Goswami, I thought maybe to touch a bit more on this point. And this connects with the point that Madan Mohan is active. Again, as many of you know, the history is that most of the original Goswami deities of Vrindavan are no longer in Vrindavan. They moved. And this is quite a long history, apparently, the actual details of how each deity moved to different places over several years. Why did they move? Well, the essential reason was the danger that had developed in the Braja area by various invading powers who were not sympathetic to the worship of Krishna in his deity form. Govindaji has moved to Jaipur, present-day Jaipur, after several stops over, I believe, about 20 years time. And he is now very wonderfully worshipped in Jaipur, in the compound of the palace of the king, or the kings of the Jaipur area, and the Rajput kings. And Madan Mohan was also, I want to say Madan Mohan decided that he also wanted to move in that direction, and eventually, and I may take help from others on details here. Eventually he came to Jaipur, I believe, But he is no longer in Jaipur. Now he is in a town or a village called Karali, which is, can we say, between but also south, I believe, from Vrindavan. You go kind of southwest, something like this. You have probably been. I confess, I have never been to Karali. I haven't managed to make that trip. My attempt about 4 years ago was interrupted by various circumstances. And my own experience is that our Madan Mohan here in Germany has been much more merciful than the original Madan Mohan, because the original Madan Mohan up till now, so far, has not allowed me to see him. So I feel some more connection to our Madan Mohan. The reason that the original Madan Mohan came to Karali was having to do with a marriage. The princess of Jaipur was married to a prince from the Karali area, I believe, isn't it? And she would not agree to go unless she could take her Madan Mohan with her. That was the agreement. So he is there now. I'm happy to report the original temple of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan is one of the oldest temples, oldest structures, which is under Government of India protection now. And unfortunately, over the centuries, it has become rather deteriorated. I noticed this last March, or Purnima time, when I was there, I did Vrindavan Parikrama, and I was happy to see that the area in the back, I didn't have time. That's another story, but it was holy time, and you don't want to spend a whole lot of time wandering around Vrindavan during holy. I actually had a goal. I need to meet somebody. And anyway, so I couldn't go to the temple, but I went by and I saw it. Now they have fixed very nicely and landscaped the area of Dvarashaditya Tila, this hillock, which is next to the temple. And the long stairway that goes down has been completely redone. And there's a nice wall and nice landscaping. So that's very encouraging. Something that Srila Prabhupada certainly wanted to see was the renovation of holy places in Vrindavan and also in the greater Gauramandala, Navadvipa and the greater Gauramandala. So over the last years, there has been some sense of concern. Some organizations have sprung up to try to clean up Vrindavan and also to renovate. There's talk also. I don't know if it'll go beyond the talking stage, but there is one Brahmakunda, which is completely dried up. It's right in Vrindavan. It's in an area where most ISKCON devotees don't venture. It's near the Ranganath temple on the far side, completely dried up, and it's essentially become a garbage dump. But it seems now there's some discussion to completely clean it up and renovate it, so we can hope these things will happen. Because this was the, as we heard, one of the aims, the missions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Goswamis, to excavate the holy places of Vrindavan. So some places have to be re-excavated now. And it seems there is hope some of this is happening. I wanted to, yes, without getting into too much detail, I wanted to touch on a bit of ISKCON Germany history with relation to the deities and with relation to my own experience. I'll try to avoid talking too much about myself, getting autobiographical, but I do have to say how thrilled I was to see any deities of Krishna for the first time in 1972. After meeting devotees in Heidelberg, there were no deities there, being sent to Stuttgart preaching center immediately after that. And then, when the news came that Srila Prabhupada would be arriving in Paris in a few days, the entire German yatra, first we descended upon Hamburg, the Bartelstrasse temple, right? Bartelstrasse. We call it a temple. It wasn't. It was a converted warehouse. But with a very charming, very inspiring temple room where the deities Chota Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, who are now in Zurich together with the larger deities, and our Chota Radha Krishna. We have always called them Chota Radha Krishna. I don't know if you now call them Chota Radha Madan Mohan or what, but these deities were there, our small Radha Krishna deities, who had been, now let's see if we get this history right, they were sent by Srila Prabhupada to Germany, am I right?
We had worshipped them personally.
Prabhupada had personally, yes. Personally worship. So those deities are also quite active. I always say this is the Hare Krishna movement. You know, we're always moving. And so Chota Radha Krishna have moved a few times. Yeah. What very much struck me when I first was there, just for that, I think it was one night we stayed in Hamburg before we all went to Paris, was the absorption, the intense mood of dedication that our pujaris at that time had in their worship. It was a very serious mood of worship. I mean, yes, I remember our Bhakti Vaibhava Swami at that time, Brahmachari Avinash Chandra Das Brahmachari. I mean, you can hardly imagine, you who know him might not imagine, have a hard time imagining this, but I'll always remember seeing with such seriousness making petal garlands for Radha Krishna. You know, this was yoga. This was, and I'll also never forget our Smita Krishna Swami at that time, Smita Krishna Das Brahmachari, offering aratik also with intense concentration, as he waved the items very slowly, and we had aratik. So I was very impressed with these things. And touched also. There was immediately a sense to me, because of this concentration of the pujaris on their worship, for me there was immediate understanding. Yes, this is Krishna. Krishna is present. I can understand. Even I was just a beginner. Hardly I knew anything what was going on. But somehow that understanding came because of the mood of the pujaris. We fast forward to Schloss Reddershof, 1975. I had been, after spending a year in the Holland Yatra, and then another year in the Danish Yatra. I came back to Germany, and by that time, Radha Madan Mohan were there. So I wasn't present when they were installed. I was what we now call a Sankirtan devotee, a book distributor. That term Sankirtan devotee came later. We were all devotees. We were all distributing books and chanting Hare Krishna and doing various services. But my service at that time was traveling Sankirtan, book distribution, so I very dutifully performed that service. I say dutifully because I was never very much at convincing people to take Srila Prabhupada's books. And this became a little bit dissatisfying for me. I thought, you know, what is my future? And I remember we would come back from traveling once a week to Schloss Reddershof. So there we were one weekend. And we had sort of bedded down, taken rest in our sleeping bags. And I was thinking, I wasn't saying this to anyone, but I was thinking, oh, another week out there distributing books. I don't know if I can take it. Just when I was thinking that, the temple commander came to me, and I was just falling asleep. He woke me up. He said, Prabhu, how would you like to stay back and be a pujari? Yes! How would you like to help in the pujari service? Yes. So then I couldn't sleep that night. I was ready to go. Next day came my, I want to say initiation. I was already initiated, second initiated, therefore they asked. But as some less of you perhaps as time goes know from this time, but our head pujari at that time was Ashtarata Prabhu. And he was really very important to the history of the worship of Radha Madan Mohan. He set the pace, and the pace was really continuing. I believe he was the head pujari also in Hamburg at that time, unless it was Himavati, Mother Himavati. In any case, he was very much involved. And the sense of seriousness, of absorption, of attention to detail, and a kind of refined spirit of Feingefühl came in the worship because of his mood. I think one can also say much of his inspiration came from the worship of, not his own worship, but observing the worship of Radharaman in Vrindavan. He saw the worship going on there and felt, because we had heard that Srila Prabhupada had said that one could learn, devotees in our society could learn from the worship of Radharaman in Vrindavan. So he took that seriously and tried in certain ways. We couldn't follow everything, but in certain ways to follow that mood of worship that was going on there. Again, as you know, and we fast forward again to 1979, it was decided that it was no longer practical to maintain two major temples within Germany. It was in 1979 that what at that time was called Nava Jiyada Nrisingha Kshetra, the farm, which we now call simply Singhachalam, was acquired. And we certainly would have liked to keep Schloss Rettershof. After all, Srila Prabhupada urged us to keep it, but we didn't own, we were not the owners. The purchase price was far beyond our means at the time. So it was decided at that time, although Nrisingha Deva would be the main deity of Singhachalam, it was decided that Radha Madan Mohan would shift, as they say in India, shift now to Bayerischer Wald, to Bavaria, for giving his blessings to the Bayerischer Volk. So that was, I believe, 1979 already he moved. 1980, 1981. 1980, I then was asked to come there and to help with the worship, but with the idea of preparing for Lord Nrisinghadev to come. The deity had been ordered to be made in India, and within a very short time he arrived. So then there were preparations to be made. My own worship of Madan Mohan has direct worship other than the offerings and the aartis and so on. But the worship and the dressing, I would only do on occasions if our head pujari went to India. And I think Madan Mohan really never was too happy with my worship, because I would get a little bit whimsical in the matter of dressing. Maybe not just a little whimsical, very whimsical. My habit was to mix up the outfits so that some days Madan Mohan had, you know, he would have red shawl and purple, which were not meant for each other. You know, I would just take and mix them all up. These were from this outfit, and I would sometimes from three different outfits. But no one dared to do it, this sort of thing, when the head pujari was present. And when he was present, then everything was very pakka and proper. Outfits as designed were offered, were dressed. But when he was gone, you know, then all mischief would start. So, yeah, my worship of them have been since that time, unfortunately, from a distance. And I have to say also, I'm very happy to see that the worship is going on with such dedication, with such sweetness, with such charm, with such steadiness, and all of these things which are pleasing to them under the careful direction of Mother Manjulali. Oh yes, one more thing I wanted to say. My personal impression of our Madan Mohan, and some others have said the same, but you may have a different impression, is that, of course, Srimati Radharani looks very German. Devotees have noticed, for example, that the Radha Krishna deities in, say, Mexico City look very Mexican. And to me, the deities, what are their names in Italy? At Villa Vrindavan? Radha Rajasundara, thank you. They look very Italian, especially Rajasundara because they always dress him in very tight pants. You know, this is a very, very Italian sort of thing, right? And Madan Mohan, he strikes me as being always rather grave in his expression. Of course he's smiling, but what is that smile? To me it is a kind of very serious sort of a smile. It's a smile, and devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we know whether the deities are satisfied with our service? And he gave this very amusing answer. If the deity is smiling, then you know that the deity is pleased. Well, of course, the deity is always smiling. But my impression, and perhaps I'm not seeing properly, but my impression is that Madan Mohan's smile is always a little bit serious. Madan Mohan decided to move here. Now you have to help me again. Which year was it? '97? 1997. So we're very hopeful and yes, hopeful, and of course Krishna's desire is independent. He can do as he likes, but our hope is that he has decided to stay here, not to go moving elsewhere anymore. We hope that he wants to be here. He's certainly happy here at this time. There's no doubt in my mind of this. He is being so nicely worshipped. Shishi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai.
Thank you very much. We will now ask our head pujari, Manjulali, to come and address all of us. As you might know from our philosophy, that there are three deities. One is, please come, Manjulali, sit down. There is Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Shishi Radha Gopinath. All these three deities are really Krishna, the same Krishna, but they look after different departments of the development of the conditioned soul. Sambandha, the Lord of Sambandha is Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, the Lord of Abhideya, or how we worship the Lord is Radha Govinda, and the Lord of Prayojana, the ultimate goal, is Shishi Radha Gopinath. A little time back, I was thinking that these are entirely different Krishnas, but just like the moon may shine in slightly different ways and be always the same moon, also the three deities are always the same Krishna. And it is told in our Chaitanya Charitamrita that the deity is fully Krishna, just like the holy name is fully Krishna. There's no difference. And therefore, today, on his birthday, Radha Madan Mohan is doing the Rasa Leela here. That's very nice. So we will now hear from Manjulali, who came to the worship of the deities. Please listen with full sympathy, because head pujaris are not known for giving every day a lecture, so you kindly encourage her with your good feelings. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. When Guru Maharaj asked me to say something today, then I was thinking this was not our plan. Actually, we wanted that senior devotees who were worshipping Radha Madan Mohan from beginning are with us today, and then they can say something which can also inspire us all who are young in Krishna consciousness, who got chance to serve the deities much, much later. But if I must to say something, then I'll try to follow up some notes which I made here. first, my first, meeting, or how to say, with the deities, my first was in Shiadev's farm when we were visiting for the festivals, and I remember that time I was doing book distribution, and then I didn't understand. As to they also, I don't understand so much about deities, but I was standing there and praying and looking at them, and every time I would come, somehow they were more beautiful. And once I remember that I was praying that please, dear Shri Radhan Mohan and Mohan, please engage me in your service. But I was not thinking in directly in their service, because at that time it was not possible to that Mataji serve Radha Madha Mohan on the altar. I was thinking that somehow I can be engaged in Sankirtan. And in the morning before Mangalarti, I was going in temple room, and for me, I was hearing the different bells on the altar, and it was very mystical for me what's going on there. I was very curious, but I had feeling I will never know what is there, because it was only meant for Prabhus, who at that time for me looked very serious and distant and very like unreachable, something which I could never do. And somehow at that time, by mercy of my Guru Maharaj, and also some of these prayers of Radha Madha Mohan were answered, and I got a chance to make some service when they came here. And also during these years I saw that they are really answering our prayers, especially if we pray for the service. And I spoke with some other devotees, and they always told me they had these realizations. They immediately get response from Radha Madha Mohan. For example, I was once was here when Mataji, she was sewing for the deities, and I like to do this somehow. And I was just praying, thinking, not really praying. I would like to do so much this service, but I have no chance because she's doing. And just after a few months after she was left, and I got the chance, and I was very happy that I can do this, make some outfits for them. Also, some other in other services, for example, sometimes we change services, and after a longer time, we don't make arotics, or we don't dress, or we don't cook. So I have this realization that when I meditate to again do some certain service, then immediately Krishna, the same day I get a chance to do that service. Also, I saw all these years how Radha Madan Mohan, they are taking care of themselves by arranging services. Sometimes pujaris forget, or plan is not arranged so that is functioning so perfectly. But somehow Krishna always inspires somebody that is a proper time for the service. I remember once, for example, I was coming just from the forest, and I remember that one other devotee had to cook evening offering, and I just came a little less than half an hour before offering here, and I looked, oh, nobody's in the kitchen. At that time, one devotee came. He was coming by feet from Birkenfeld, nearby here, one small city. He said, oh, you are not cooking. And I told him, oh, you are not cooking. I said, oh, but I thought you cook. He said, I thought you are cooking today. And so he said, nobody's cooking, so let us now come together, take shower and come together. And it was a very short time, but somehow, by Krishna's mercy, it was offering was done on time. And these things happened quite often. Once I remember all these years, we missed one service. I remember that was one of the rare hot days in Abentar, because mostly we have here cold weather even in summer. But that day was really hot, and one Mataji had to cook lunch offering for the deities, but she understood somebody else to, has to cook, and she didn't cook, and her husband was here also, he had to offer, and he came in the kitchen, there was nothing to offer. And he called her quickly, and he himself also was running around to prepare some fruits and juices, and because it was the quickest to prepare. And then later when we heard this, when we thought, okay, now we missed the service for the Madamoha, we also should not take prasadam, we should fast. All temples, especially Pujajari, should fast. But it was somehow difficult for us to surrender, and we think, okay, Krishna today he wanted, because it was so hot, he wanted only a very light meal, and we accepted that as his desire. And once I was cooking for evening offering, and suddenly electricity was out and gas was out, and there was no chance to continue to cook. I just put it rice and I cut it vegetables for sabjis, and we could not offer, nothing was good. And then I was thinking what to do, and I took all the raw things which could be made as salads and fruits and so on, and then I made offering which was more opulent than Krishna would get, like from the standard things which we normally prepare. So somehow we see that Krishna actually has his, sometimes he has his desires, and he also try to fulfill them through his devotees. And one story which some devotees already heard once happened, that Sadanandi Mataji, she was dressing the deities, and at the time she was learning, and I was dressing the small deities, and as she was in during the dressing, she came to me almost at the end, and she said, oh, you can look now how they look, if it's okay. And then I looked and I said, okay, somehow they should get both deities, they should get straight, not that Krishna is turned and on nice one side or Radharani. But that time Krishna was turned away from Radharani, and I told her, yeah, maybe you should put Krishna that he looks straight over the devotees down. And then I continued with small deities. And then I didn't look, and she said, oh, he's turning again. This side tried, but he's turning. I said, oh, yeah, come on. I said, he's not. And then I said, yeah, you try again. And then she tried, and I looked, and he was turning. And then I said, okay, I will try also. And then I was also doing 2-3 times, and every time Krishna was turning away. And we checked everything. There was not actually nothing which could pull Krishna. And then I said, Sadanandi, that Krishna is for sure, he wants to simply turn like that away from Radharani for some reason and look this direction. And we cannot do nothing, and we should have just to leave him there. Yeah. And another time we had one small story. In the morning, Goloka Prabhu was offering Shila Puja. Actually, he was waking deities and making Shila Puja. And during waking deities, we offered that time Rasa Gulas. And then I was up still in the ashram, and he came. He said, how many Rasa Gulas you made yesterday? I said, 8 Rasa Gulas, I think. Because I was thinking, maybe I'm not sure why he asked me. So there are only 7. And then I said, okay, I come down and I will see also. I don't know. And then I came down, and then I counted Rasa Gulas. One ball was 4, another 3. I said, yes, 7, but I don't know, maybe I didn't make. And I said, maybe we can put back in the small pot where I put them when I finished cooking, from which pot he transferred in deities bowl. Because I remember how they stayed. It was full pot, it was more pot, small pot, and they, or asagulas, they filled the pot. And we put it back, and the pot was full, but there were 7. He was counting, I was counting 7. And then he said, I cannot offer. Maybe some of the devotees who were in the evening, maybe they thought it is prasadam and they took, and we should not offer for the deities. He said, I don't know what we should do. And he didn't offer to the deities. But then came time for Shila Puja. Then next bowl, second bowl, one bowl is going for Radhamana Mohan, 4 pieces, and next bowl going for Shilas. And he said, okay, I didn't offer for Radhamana Mohan, but what should I do now? The time one Mataji came, Malati Manjari, in the deity room, and he called her. He said, Malati Manjari, can you please tell me what to do? Because we should offer 8 rasagulas, but there are only 7, and probably somebody of devotees took, or Manjari forgot to make one. And can you please go and ask few devotees in the ashram and if they took maybe by mistake. And she went to all these devotees, which were in the evening, and they said, no, I didn't talk, no, I didn't take, took, didn't take, I didn't, it was Boga, of course, I didn't. And she came, and before she went, actually she counted also, there were seven. And then she came back, and then I was there on the door, she was counting, hey, there are eight rasagulas. And then I counted again, and then I was counting, so yeah, eight rasagulas, but what was wrong? We all counted before seven. Cannot be, if it would be only one person counting, can make mistake, but three persons some more. And then we were speaking why this happened, and we thought, maybe Krishna wanted to see our reaction and how devotees would respond when we asked him or whatever. It was not clear. It's not clear. It's still to us why Krishna made this. Yeah. For example, I see also Krishna Radha Madamaha gives ideas for service. For example, they always give new and new inspiration how to serve them, how to make things, more things for them, arrange better and so improve. And not only that, I saw also they arrange all Lakshmi materials, everything, and devotees who would make it. And this for me always amazing. Because these ideas, then I think, okay, they are coming for sure from Krishna, because otherwise, if he would not want that they are made, he would not arrange everything around. So it looks that Radha Madamaha has a special plan, and they want to somehow engage us in their plan to somehow get mercy, to get a chance to serve them. For example, also for decoration, when we make decoration like for festival, we never know. Normally before, I always think what we can do. For example, some ideas are not coming, and then I start to pray and pray and nothing is coming, and pray and not, like for Janmashtami also, and then just some week or two before some ideas comes. And we never know how it will go further, how it will develop our idea, how it will fit, how it will look at the end. And during that process, somehow all things are coming to be arranged, and everything, all what is needed is supplied. And at the end, even outside decoration, I saw sometimes devotees who are doing in temple room decoration, they are not in contact with pujaris, and they make the same ideas outside, like on the altar. And I'm always amazed by this, how Krishna in the heart inspire in the same directions devotees to serve him in the same mood. I also somehow I try to see in my life also how deities Radha Madan Mohan are very active, and how they are making arrangements, and how they are making some turning points in my life, and how they are making intense my life. Sometimes it's so intense that I think if I would not think that this is Radha Madan Mohan behind, I would not survive, and it actually gives me a lot of strength, because I think they have perfect plan, and I should somehow try to, if I even don't understand what is the plan, I mean, I don't understand what they want, but somehow I want to try to just to follow or to accept that plan, although it's not so easy. And then I see also that they are very merciful, because they tolerate me so much and they still keep me in the service. And that's their greatness. I mean, that's their also, that they actually, when they came here, they allow us Matajis to do service. That's also a sign of that they are even more merciful. As Guru Maharaj said, when they came here, then before it was more like stricter. So, yeah. That's
Krishna. There's actually an ancient story in surrounding the temple in Karoli, where Radha Madan Mohan insisted that Mataji do a service for him. It was every day one poor milk lady brought in the evening a little pot of milk which she had just, how do you say, milk? Molken? Yeah? Milked. She brought it to the kitchen of Radha Madan Mohan. And you can see still, when you stand on the roof of the temple, you can look at, and there's the Yamuna. So this milk lady came every evening, just before the milk offering. So one day, the pujari who cooked milk for Madan Mohan noticed when he took the container of the milk lady, one fish fell with the milk into the cooking pot. Now, this pujari really became so shocked. He immediately took the fish out and, I don't know what he did with the fish, but he was very shocked because of two reasons. The first reason is obvious. That doesn't take lots of intelligence to see. The second reason is very, needs a little intelligence to see. The first reason was he had almost offered the Lord of his heart a cooked fish. The second reason why he became angry was that he now understood that this lady had most properly, because she was so poor, every day put some water in the milk. You know, she must have milked the cow, then crossed the Yamuna River, and when she was in the river, no one looked, she went with her milk pot to make it a little bit more, the quantity of the milk. Now, this is the greatest sin in India. If you dilute milk, there is a hell waiting for you. I once read this, the hell of the milk diluters. The pujari was boiling with anger. We have all the time offered our Lord diluted, also verwässertes Milch, diluted milk. And he ran to this lady and said, out, immediately. And he yelled at her, you have done this great offense. We almost offered the Lord cooked fish, and you have diluted the milk all these years. I will never, ever accept even a drop of milk which has even come close to you. Never you can come to the temple. Go. Now the lady was very heartbroken. Yes, she sometimes had diluted the milk, but she loved Madan Mohan. She only had one cow. Why did Madan Mohan not accept her offering? Why did he arrange this? So she went in her little hut, and for 3 days she just slept. She was so heartbroken, she could not wake up. She just thought to die. She fasted. Now, one evening, after the third night, she heard a knock at her door and opened. There was a very beautiful young boy. He said, Mother, I'm very thirsty for milk. Aye. No one is here. I have no milk. She had not milked her cow for 3 days. Imagine how the cow must have felt. She was dying, really. Oh, Mother, I'm from a different village. Can I The Brahmin was thinking, the Brahmin boy, what he would ask. That was clear. But then he had a, can I stay with you over the night? Ah, go home. You know, what will people say when a young boy like you is with a different woman in the same hut, you know, not with his mother, you know. Oh, but it's very cold, said the boy. Let me sleep. It's very late. So she said, you can sleep there in the corner. I die in my corner. So as she was sleeping, she sometimes looked at her guest. There was a little aura around her guest. And she felt so peaceful and so blissful and so ecstatic. Then finally the boy said, Mother, I'm a little cold. Can you give me a blanket? So she only had a blanket from where she slept under a blanket. She had a blanket for everything, for covering, as a chadar. She was very poor, very torn around blanket. So she gave that to the boy. Then she fell asleep. In the morning when she looked, her guest was no longer there. The boy had gone. She forgot all about it and continued to lie. You know, she was really heartbroken. She could not move. Then a little later, maybe 2 hours later, she heard the knocking and the yelling of the pujari. You wretch! You beast! You... Many bad words came over the mouth of the pujari. Open the door! This is now too much. We will drive you out of the village. And then the pujari broke into her and said, "What is this?" And the pujari showed the broken blanket of that lady. What is this? This is your blanket. You have dared to somehow, crazy woman, move into the temple and you have put the your rotten blanket on the shoulders of our Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan in Karoli, you must know, is minimum this high. And then the pujari looked around in the hut and he saw a yellow scarf. The scarf of Madan Mohan, which he, it's called a pitambara. He jumped to the bed where the Brahmin boy had slept. He said, and here's the proof. Here you have stolen the yellow scarf. This is too much. Not only have you almost offered our deity a cooked fish, not only have you diluted every day the water, now you have put your sleeping blanket around him and stolen his scarf when you somehow broke into the temple overnight. I tell the village, and he went out. Now in the evening, or in the night, Madan Mohan appeared to the pujari and said, "You rascal! 3 days I'm fasting for milk. I don't get the milk of this lady. I don't drink the other milk. I want her milk because she has bhakti. And I arranged something with her. I was looking for her association. That's when I went to her and slept in the house just to be close to my devotee. And you have given so much problems. I now demand that every day this lady brings the milk to me, and that you cook it, and so on. She may do service." Now, I had heard the story a long time back, and I have faith that Madan Mohan has, when he accepted me, when Astarada was the pujari, every night he called me to read from the Nectar of Devotion in the deity room for Madan Mohan, that he would fall in better, that he would be resting. It's called the good night story. So I was the good night story man. I was very excited the whole day. I picked a little story from Nectar of Devotion. This is right for the mood of today. Then I would pray in the morning to the deities, please let me find the story which you like, and so on. Then I felt always that Madan Mohan will accept any devotees. If he has accepted me, for sure, he will accept everyone, even pulling the children. Yes, yes. Hare Krishna. So he's very kind and very merciful. He's pulling everyone to him. And he pulled also a little child to him, and this is our next speaker. Gaurahari has now become a big boy, but he was a small baby. Please sit here, Gaurahari, and tell us how he pulled you. And afterwards we will hear devotees from a Muslim country, how he pulled them. Hare Krishna, you may speak now. He was very small. You do not believe it when you see him like this. And he is also Madan Mohan Bhakta.
Hare Krishna. I will try not to speak so much about myself. I'll try to somehow glorify Madan Mohan deities. But it's true that because I was really small, I think 5 years old or so, when I first saw these deities. And because at those times, our Czech Yatra, because I'm somehow coming from Czech Republic, so the Czech Yatra was on the beginning stage of somehow developing Krishna consciousness. So we got a advice that if we really want to see somehow how we should properly be engaged in Krishna consciousness, we should go to the German farm, Simha Chalam, for the festivals. Because those times, and also today, we have always some festivals, and those times the deities were still, Madan Mohan, they were still present there. So Radhashtami, Janmashtami, Narasimha Chaturdasi, and so on. All the festivals would be there. So we'd be coming there, and I was really small, and it's really true that also at those times the pujaris were really serious about the service. So it's really true that I also, being a small boy, I really didn't understand anything about, you know, deities, but still somehow I just saw, yeah, I mean, they're just doing everything so seriously. So on the altar, there has to be Krishna. I mean, it can be anyone else. It has to be Krishna. And I was just attracted to the deities there because I don't know really why, but I mean, it's just the way it is. I guess Krishna always attracts everybody. That's in his name. That's just his way. And so it's really true. And he just caught my heart, I guess. And I hope. And then when the time went by and I was growing up, then they came here. He decided to come here. So we thought, well, what, how are we going to be able to see him again? Because it's quite far away. And we even thought actually it's even further than it actually is. So we just thought, well, there is no chance pretty much for us to come and somehow at least have a darshan or maybe serve him. And then, I don't know, I think it's about 4 years ago or so, when we just somehow got invited here and we just somehow measured it on the map, and then we thought, well, it's not so far. Let's just go for Janmashtami and see the deities again. Actually, before that even, we were going to Sankirtan festival in France, and somehow or other, we stopped by at Goloka Dham just for one night. So we got the darshan of Radhama Dhanmohan. So, as Manjulali also said, that even if you just think of something, you don't even pray, you don't even say it out loud or just go in front of the deities and pray that something, of course, it should be something spiritual, at least that's my realization. As long as it's something really spiritual, then it just, they just fulfill the desire immediately. You don't even have to tell anybody, you don't have to even speak it loud, you don't have to even sometimes pray to the deity. You just think that I would like to serve somehow to Radha Madan Mohan, and they immediately fulfill the desire. So then we came for Janmashtami, and then we realized that it's not so far. And actually, the atmosphere here is nice. We immediately got somehow engaged into the service. And also what was a little magical, and we still didn't understand how possibly it is, but technically it's impossible, but somehow it happened. Because we would always measure the kilometers on a car. There is a counter. It always tells you how long you've driven. And every single time, it was shorter, like by 5-10 kilometers. So it was first, it was like about 560 or 70, something like that. And then it was 560, 550. And then finally it got stopped somehow on 530 or so. So it was always getting shorter, and we were always speculating, well, it can be like this because we were, you know, but I guess the technical reason, there is no technical reason for it. It just, I guess, I just take it as that somehow Radha Madan Mohan just wanted to show that yes, you can come. And even this year, it just became a custom to come and somehow participate in the festival. I was giving up the idea of coming. I was thinking, well, it's not possible because of my present situation. There is anyway nobody in Czech who would be coming, and somehow Radha Madan Mohan just arranged it. Actually, there were two devotees in Czech who just said, yeah, let's go. Let's go to visit. But then, somehow they got engaged somewhere else. So the initial persons who actually created the idea didn't come. And then somehow we just got here. And so, and also, I also wanted to say about the smile of Madan Mohanji. I also had the same impression that he's smiling, but he's always a little serious about the smile. And whenever I just see the deities, we can realize that yes, we should become more serious about the Krishna consciousness. We should just believe, yes, here I am standing, that's me, Krishna, here is Radharani, and just try to serve them. So, just by the mercy of them, we can continue in Krishna consciousness. They're just always when you just, whenever you come here, you feel like you're just at home. Everything is fine. Nice festival, lots of devotees. So, they just somehow, when I was a small boy, I just somehow grew up with them. It's very amazing. I'm very glad that I can be here even today. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, you came out quite nice, Gaurahari. I would like to now request Siddheshwari to come and sit down here. She's from a Muslim country, and their deity worship or the personal form of the Lord is really not known. It's very interesting, her story, how she found the temple and how she became inspired. But because you all talk about the smile of Radha Madan Mohan. I also want to speak about it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when we meditate about Radha and Krishna, we should meditate about a certain picture of Radha and Krishna. And that is that we see their smiling face. The Lord's smile takes away the misery of us conditioned souls. He smiles. When Arjuna comes to Lord Krishna on the battlefield and is all disturbed and he breaks, he falls almost from the chariot, his mouth is dry, the bow's Gandiva slips from his hand, and he describes Krishna the terrible trouble he is in, that he has to engage in this warfare and is in a total dilemma whether to fight or not to fight. Then Krishna's response is he smiles. Krishna smiles a lot. He is beyond the modes of nature. Previously, our Madan Mohan would also not look directly at the devotees. Only recently he has shifted his glance. He would really be transcendental and look and just smile. We all felt this. But the smile is a demanding smile. When will you grow up? When will you become sincere in spiritual life? It's a serious smile. It's not a, let me say, amused smile. It's also not, that would mean he's very much distanced from us. He is waiting for us. And I have seen personally that we had many, many pujaris who worshipped them. And all the pujaris will report that Madan Mohan is intense. Those who were pujaris here, they know Madan Mohan, wie sagt man, is ein schleifender Madan Mohan. He like a jewel which he which is rubbed, becomes more full of light. So Madan Mohan wants to bring our light out of the heart, our Krishna consciousness. So here's our Siddheshwari. Then we have one more devotee and who will speak on the glories of Madan Mohan. And, so. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I should thank Guru Maharaj for giving me this great opportunity in this auspicious day to glorify my Lordship Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. Yes, it was year 2000 that with my husband we came to Germany for some business trip. But we were already 2 years in contact with Krishna consciousness in my country, but in some other ways that you cannot believe. It's really different from what you experience here and everywhere else. As you know, in Islam tradition, they don't believe in form of God, and rather they also object about it. And So reasonably enough, we have never seen any kind of deity form of Lord. And then when we arrived here, it was our flight was on Nityananda's appearance day. And by his mercy, I don't know, I was so much inspired to see devotees here. Because we were reading from the stories of early ISKCONs, how they go to Harinam everywhere. They are very active and inspired, distributing prasadam. And I was thinking, oh, when we arrive in airport, we may see them even in Harinam. But it was not that. And but I was not stopped. I tried to search temples in internet. 4 days I was struggling, and I really didn't know how much they were really calling us. They were very powerful. I didn't understand what is inside my heart, but something was forcing me. And we were already planning to go to Shridham Mayapur for Gaur Purnim festival after 2 weeks, because it was early in the March, if I remember correctly. And my husband said, okay, maybe it's not the time we go in Germany to a Krishna temple. Now we are ready to go for Mayapur. Why you push so much? But somehow I didn't know. It was something burning my heart. And I was trying so much in internet. All the temples which I had the address were closed, or nobody was picking up the phones which I was dialing. And it was really somehow disappointing. But I don't know why I was not stopping. And then somehow, at the end of the fourth day, I was finding the German farm's telephone. Through one devotee, Murli Manohar, in Tehran. We called him from Germany and asked him, and he gave us the telephone number of Nishinga Kshetra. And I called them, and one devotee said, "Oh, you are very far from us, and it takes so long. And because we were for the business purpose here, we could really not go for such a long trip to German farm." And I became so sad, and I asked, "But is there any other temple more closer to the point we are?" He said, "Yes, Golokodam." And I didn't understand, really, because in my country we were, what we had in Krishna consciousness, it was only Prasadam and Bhagavad Gita. And we were not get used to spiritual names and this culture. And he gave me the phone number, and I called. But as you can guess, it was Vyasa Puja, and nobody picked up the phone. And I had great courage. I don't know why. I put a message, and I asked, "Please call us back." And then we were completely convinced that it's not the time, because the day after we had meeting in Berlin, and we were packing our things. And then at 1 o'clock, Ram Gopal Prabhu called us back. And he said, "Hare Krishna, this is Ram Gopal." And the tears came from my eyes. And just immediately he gave us information how to catch the trains and connections and this and that. And we jumped to the train station immediately with full faith. I still sometimes think, how can we believe some foreigners just by phone call, and it is only Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and otherwise how I could believe him. And then mystically we arrived here. We were missing, and we were all the time near to miss the train, and we had to stay all the way in the smoking section, because we really didn't know all the tricks. We were completely new to German rules and train timings. So we arrived here. Guru Bhavini picked up us here from Neuburgen, and we arrived here. And we looked, oh, another world. It was far from our imagination. And I was really shocked. Everybody with tilak and Vaishnava clothes. It was completely something different for us. And then we were standing behind this door. It was only 15 minutes before closing the altar. It was in the night. And then Manjulali came out from temple room. And devotees who were already talking with us introduced us to her. And she asked me, "Have you seen them before?" I really tell the truth now. I really didn't understand what she means. But I said, "No, it's my first time in any temple." She said, "So?" I said, "But I don't feel proper with these clothes and go inside." She said, "But just run for them, otherwise you will lose them. They will close the altar." And with a lot of energy, she encouraged us, just jump into temple room, and we did. And it was really like we entered the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, and deities, like, they were embarrassing us. It was not deity, it was really Radha and Krishna waiting for us. And it was like, we know each other for a long time. And I don't know, it was a very strange feeling, something, I don't know, I really cannot describe. And they changed our life, really, from that moment. And every year with so many obstacles. It's really difficult to get German visa, especially if a family apply for it. But it's always everything arranging with Guru Maharaj's mercy and all the devotees here. And they are bringing us mystically every year here for their birthday. And they are really very powerful. They are very present here. I have no other experience in any other temples in India like that. And I will tell everyone, I'm sorry, maybe it's like an offense. I'm very neophyte. But I tell everyone, my Vrindavan is Golokadham, Germany. And it is really my Vrindavan here. I feel always I come to Vrindavan when I come here. And like just today, I have every time, I have so many mystical, fulfilling desires, pastime with them. Today, just we bowed down for Tulsi Arati, and I was thinking, just spontaneous, just thinking, wow, it's such a great opportunity to worship Tulsi Devi today. And then when we stood, Nayaka Mataji told me, would you like to do this? And I was just shaking. I mean, they are like that. They are very powerful. And you are very fortunate. You are living close to them. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Hare Krishna. We have also many male pujaris, but they are, I asked Hanumat, and they are really busy at the moment. So we will close this session with one other Mataji, worshipper of or pujari. Anandini will just briefly tell one of the stories of the deities, one of their mahimnas. Actually, when you go to the old and ancient Indian temples, you will always get a little booklet which describes the glories of the deities. And one day we should really do a booklet about this. So we will just hear Anandini and then we will end our session. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for giving this morning when Guru Maharaj asked me if I would like to speak something. He saw a kind of insecurity in me, and later I thought, but just yesterday I have heard those person who doesn't use their tongue in glorification of Radha Krishna, their life is lost. So I became a little more determined to just share some actually very nice experience with the deities. When I came here, my plan was really not to be a pujari of Radha Madan Mohan, because I had really many other plans in my life, and I planned to stay only for 1 month or 2 months actually, and now I'm already 4 years here. They really captured my heart, so I'm unexpectedly they did it in such a way. So from the beginning, when I started to worship them, actually I remember first time when I went on the altar, first day Goloka Prabhu went with me to show me how to wake deities and offer them a fruit offering in the afternoon. And he was doing everything, I was just watching. And then next day he also was supposed, someone else was supposed to be there with me, but nobody came. And the person who was supposed to come, I just couldn't believe I was there alone, and I didn't know what to do. But where is she? Why? What's happening here? And then it was 4 o'clock, and then I needed to wake them up, and somebody took books. I didn't know anything, any mantra, anything. I saw once everything, and there are so many details, it's very serious deity worship. And I said, okay, there is no book, somebody took book, there is no pujari. And I said, okay, Radha Madan Mohan, I'm so sorry, I really don't have any qualification really to do to you any nice offering at the moment, but please accept my service in the way I can do at the moment. And then I entered and I did without mantras. But I felt so much deities at that moment. I was really doing it with the heart, and I don't know if I did it ever again like that. I really begged them, please come and sit, take this, and I offered them. It's so spontaneous. And later I was really thinking, why they did it? And I somehow, yeah, I understood that they wanted to show me deity worship. It's not just rules and regulations what seem to me to be, but it's really the matter of heart. And it was not the actually later they again did it with some other things, because with some unexpected circumstances here, I needed to go to an altar without learning anything, and I again needed to act in such a way. And I was really very grateful to Madame Ohan to teach me that, to open my heart to him without knowing anything, just to do something for him. Yeah, and what I really wanted to say is one little story with them last Kartik. Last year, we were not many here because most of them went to Vrindavan, even helpers, and there were only a few pujaris, so I was whole month in the morning dressing them, and it really became my Vrindavan that month. I told the Guru Maharaj later, I am very much attached to Vrindavan. I like to go to Vrindavan, but that year, I'm so grateful to Krishna that he gave me the opportunity to be here and have my own Vrindavan here. And what happened one day, I was really very overwhelmed by the beauty of Radharani. And I just couldn't. Oh, she was so beautiful. And I went on the altar, I took a camera, and I wanted to take a photo. And then I approached Radharani, and I tried to take a photo, but it didn't work. And then I tried it again and again and again. Nothing worked. I turned off camera and again on and so, but nothing worked. But I wanted so much to have that picture because she was so beautiful. I couldn't, you know, it was so nice. And then I looked through camera into her eyes and I said, please, Radharani, I really want to have that picture. I want to have why it's not possible? And then it was so amazing. I have heard the voice saying, it's not me who is, in a very humble way, it's not me who is important. Krishna is first in my life. I was so, it was really a kind of shock, but I thought, I'm imaginating or something. And I said, okay, I try with Krishna. And then I went to Krishna. And at first it worked. And I took a photo. And then I was struck with, how can I approach now, actually? And then I went very quickly to Radharani and I took a photo and went out crying because it was so intense. It's really something so deep. Yeah, they are really very active deities. And they really change the plans. I mean, when I think what plan, they really change and they hear our prayers. Some say that maybe that they fulfill immediately, but my experience is yes, they can fulfill immediately, but sometimes they keep us, I mean, they let us learn something, but they fulfill always the way it's best for us, and they hear the prayers like anything. I mean, my deepest experience when I cannot overcome some things in my life or some difficulties or anything, I just pray to them constantly and they solve that. I mean, it's the only way. I'm completely confident in that. So thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for giving me an opportunity.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you also very much. It's very, I think for us as devotees who go to the deities and see them from down here, it's very interesting to hear what devotees report who see them, who work with them, who do service with the deities. It's a very nice insight. I mean, this photo story I've never heard. It's very, very nice and moving. Yes. Thank you all very, very much. We will now come. Let me see what is next. Krishna, Krishna. Yes, so this was an attempt to glorify the deities.
They are now 30 years in Germany. And I want to again remind all of you, we now have this wonderful committee, Return the Land to Radha Madan Mohan. If you have any desire to know more about this action plan, please see Uli in the registration office. We will now make a little pause of 1 hour, and then at 3 o'clock we will again gather in the temple for a procession with Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. It is actually said in the scriptures that when the Lord goes on procession, the devotees should follow him like bees. If it is possible for you and if you can divide your day, please come. There is a Schaukel ceremony, and then there is also reading from a very amazing book. It's called the Krishna Lila Stava, an ancient work of Sanatana Goswami, which the BBT now publishes. This work is a manual for prayer and paying obeisances to the deities. And for a long, long time, it was lost. No one knew where the Krishna Lila Stava was to be found. Then one devotee had Hari Prasad, you know, Hari something from Navadvip, got an order from a sacred order from his spiritual master, collect all the Goswami literatures, and he found many except for Krishna Lila Stava. So he traveled to Vrindavan and just stood at the Yamuna and cried, "My dear Radha Madan Mohan, please give me the Krishna Lila Stava." And as he was sitting on the Yamuna, praying to Madan Mohan on this beautiful, beautiful temple, he saw a bundle drifting down the Yamuna. He went in, was interested, and he retrieved that bundle. And as he opened it, it were all palm leaves of different manuscripts. And one of these manuscripts was, I think you can understand, the Krishna Lila Stava, a meditation about Krishna's wonderful lilas, and a guidebook how, you know, you meditate about one lila, and then you pay your obeisances and then go to the next. And we will do this. It's the first time that this book is available now in a very, let me say, complete version. And so we will have at 3 o'clock a ceremony, a procession with the deities and some Krishna Lila Stava. So now you have a pause. The deities will be open. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.